The significant ephah, the seventh vision. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Zechariah 5, verses 5 through 8. This is one of the most difficult of the visions, but it is most interesting. The interpreting angel had withdrawn after the instruction rendered in the preceding vision, but he is right on the scene again. He went forth and suggests to Zechariah that he lift up his eyes and see another striking sign. He does as the angel bids, but he does not recognize the object. The angel informs him that it is an ephah that goeth forth, and adds these puzzling words, This is their resemblance, or their eye, in all the land. As the prophet continues to look, the cover of the ephah, consisting of a talent of lead, was lifted off, and he beheld a woman. This is wickedness. The angel then casts the weight of lead into the midst of the ephah upon the mouth thereof, as though the woman was endeavoring to get out of the ephah and must be stopped. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established, and set there upon her own base. Zechariah 5, verses 9 through 11. Then the prophet sees two women with wings like a stork coming forth from some invisible place, and the wind was in their wings. This phrase no doubt refers to the power of Satan. They lifted up the ephah between the heavens and the earth. Zechariah inquires as to its destination, and he is informed that they are bearing it away to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base. Now for the interpretation. The ephah was the largest measure of commerce in use among the Jews. The eyes of the land are upon it, or rather it is more correct to say that which it symbolizes is before the eyes of all men. Commercialism in the 8th chapter of Revelation is set before us very prominently as a sign of the full measure of wickedness at the end. Merchants are mentioned as having become rich through the abundance of the delicacies of this system to which John is pointing. Later, merchants are seen weeping because of the lack of markets for their merchandise. Then there is a long list of the articles of commerce in which slaves and even souls of men are included. Revelation 18:13. This proves that the commercialism therein emphasized is of more than ordinary import. It is of a religious character. Furthermore, in Scripture, women generally refer to religious things, sometimes in a good sense and sometimes otherwise. Israel is likened to a woman, likewise the church. As loyal and consecrated to the Lord, she is called a chaste virgin. As false, she is named a harlot. The harlot name emphasizes the fact that she commercializes her place and power for gain. Commerce, in a business sense, is not necessarily evil. It is when men take hold of religious or spiritual things to reap something for themselves. When they make merchandise of the gospel, that commerce becomes sinful. The more these principles are evidenced, the greater they increase, the greater the wickedness. As is the case symbolized by the ephah, it is the figure of evil of the greatest magnitude, the church selling her wares and enriching herself. The Hebrew word translated wickedness by the Septuagint is the same as that used of the Antichrist, the wicked whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Therefore we say that the woman in the ephah personifies wickedness. She is its fullest expression, its climax. The fact that she is surrounded by commerce, or that which expresses it, and sits in the very midst of it is not without signification. We have here a striking portrait of the great whore of Revelation 17, for both of these women emphasize the most flagrant iniquity. The great whore has a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and she is situated upon many waters. She is arrayed in purple and scarlet and ornamented with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Her name is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is seen drunk with the blood of the saints, proving her connection with religion. Revelation 17, verses 5 through 6. When we first see the woman in the ephah, the symbol of the great whore, she is apparently about to escape out of her place in the midst of the commerce by which she is surrounded, but she is not allowed to do so. The angel throws the woman back in the ephah and casts the circular mass of lead upon the mouth thereof, teaching us that the very instrument of her sin becomes the instrument of her punishment. The talent, symbol of her unholy trade, becomes the heavy weight by which she is held down until she is landed safely in her own place. Zechariah 5, verse 5, Revised Version. Where, after a season, she will be judged and destroyed, together with those who have been her paramours in wickedness, the Antichrist and the false prophet. But to return to the vision, the woman seeking to get out of her close quarters would hint of the time when the Catholic Church will get into the net of God's judgment. The very thing in which she traded is the means used of the Lord for her punishment. She is carried swiftly away, and a house is built for her in the land of Shinar, and established there upon her own base. The land of Shinar is Babylon. When we look into this carefully, we are amazed at the understanding we get out of this difficult vision. Babylon was the first city of which we have any record after the deluge. The city upon which God's judgment fell was that wicked city in the plain of Shinar. Genesis 11. The inhabitants of that land built a city and a tower whose top they intended should reach to heaven. They wanted to make themselves a name. The Lord came down to see the great sight. Man was deified in that city. He was his own God. Human strength and wisdom were in full development, but it was fallen man that was in evidence. Men reached the zenith of their self-development, and judgment fell upon them quickly from the Lord, and they were scattered. The Babylon of the future, viewed in the book of Revelation, is the very same attempt, only on a far greater scale. That religious city is even now in the building, but it has not reached the apex. It remains for the future to see to what lengths sinful man will go and to what depths he will fall when the restraining hand of God is removed. The Babylon of the future is not only the Catholic Church, as many argue, but it is Protestantism as well. It is a combination of all religious cults claiming to be Christian into one great confederacy. In fact, Babylon has this very significance. Babylon means concentration and confusion. The Romish Church, as well as Protestantism, will be joined together in one great hodgepodge of apostasy. They are nearing the shoals of the danger today and are only hindered by the power of the true ecclesia. But when the restraining one, the true church, has departed, then quickly the leaven will spread and the full development of religious iniquity will be manifested. Mystery, Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, will be ruling over all the world. She is viewed by John as riding upon the world confederacy, the revived Roman Empire, holding the reins of the scarlet-colored galloping beast, Revelation 17, who is tramping everything under his feet when Daniel beholds him, Daniel 7, verses 19 through 25. Babylon in its beginning gives us the figure of a world empire, civil and religious, Genesis chapter 11, arrayed against God, so also in its end. It stands for the anti-Christian world, which by lying sophistry is making inroads against the truth. All this is a preparation for Babylon. The professed church in every way is increasing. Riches, learning, prestige, honor are hers. Influential men with money control its affairs. Errors of all kinds, with the accompaniment of loose morals, are afloat on the sea of religiousness. Great schemes, big things, are the talk of the hour. Institutions of learning, in which infidelity under the form of higher criticism is taught, are erected and endowed by wealthy men with millions of dollars, as though this world was to be the scene of their activities forever. That is exactly what has been taught. The false church has constituted herself the teacher and has brought in wrong doctrine as to her destiny. She has leavened the whole mass of truth, Matthew 13:33, by putting into men's minds that she is God's appointed agency in the conversion of the world. Hence, they have sought world conquest with the apparent desire to Christianize it, but that is the bunk all around. In this respect, she is a self-appointed agent, not a God-appointed agent. These so-called Christian nations are simply following on in a way of their own desire. They are not led in this manner against their will. It is their very nature to rule over the world. The devil has put it there. In a measure, they will attain their ambition, and when it is a reality, they will turn upon the Romish church and destroy that system. The Antichrist, head of the world empire, will not share his honors with anyone. The mighty city, religious Babylon, will fall even as the scriptures foresee. The 10 horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put it into their hearts to fulfill his will. Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17. Some commentators of the Bible are of the opinion that the ancient city of Babylon must be rebuilt to fulfill the above scripture, and others of like character in Isaiah and Jeremiah. According to their theory, a future judgment will fall upon Babylon, which must arise, and to quote the words of one, for a time will be the center and embodiment of all the elements of our godless Western civilization, and which will become the chief entrepot of commerce in the world. There are developments in the world today which point in this direction. At the present time, the Mesopotamian Valley and all the region round about it is the scene of great activity. It appears to be in a state of restoration and is now called Iraq. Britain has held the mandate over this country until recently, when they gave up their authority to King Faisal, the present ruler. Iraq now enjoys a season of apparent independence and self-government, which will be established and ratified when it becomes a member of the League of Nations, which is scheduled to happen in 1932. Britain set King Faisal on the throne as a reward for his assistance in Arabia during the war. He has been loyal to the British government in every obligation, and the country has prospered under his rule. He is a popular ruler. He will no doubt continue in this capacity. It was largely due to his influence that Great Britain granted independence to Iraq. Faisal is somewhat of a noted character. Several students of prophecy have visioned him as the coming Antichrist and have so written him up, one man in particular being most emphatic as to his identity. We confess we fail to see the correspondence to the Antichrist of biblical fame, either as the false prophet or the counterfeit king, but we may see more later. Shinar, we are assured, as mentioned in connection with the ephah and the vision given to Zechariah, refers altogether to apostatized Christendom, the hold of every foul, lying religious demon that is manifest today, and others which will appear later. It is shown as a great tree in Matthew 13:32, with all the birds of the air, wicked spirits, lodged in its branches. In Scripture, Shinar is symbolic of the anti-Christian world, which claims to be Christian and yet wars against the truth. The professing church is more and more going on into apostasy. Shortly she will be seen hand in glove with the revived Roman Empire, the counterfeit of Christ's kingdom. Church and state will be united, as John in Revelation shows.